I'd like you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 12. The more I thought about it, if I tried doing even a short commentary on what I was planning to do, I'll talk too long. I'll never get it done. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and starting with verse 12, it says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members are of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which are deemed less honorable, on those we bestow greater abundant honor, and much more presentable, honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving much more honor to the abundant honor to the members which lack, so that there be no division in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." The reason why I want to bring this passage up, there's several things that are mentioned here that we got to understand. It goes both ways. Sometimes we think about this passage, we look at this passage only one way, but it goes both ways. There is no one here who is not absolutely critical for the welfare of this church. None. Don't care how weak you might think somebody is or how strong somebody is, not one person isn't critical. There is what often happens, and what Paul starts out talking about, is a lot of people look at themselves and say, "I'm just not needed. I'm not that important. I'm not needed. I don't have to be here or be a part of the group, and it'll get along just fine without me." Nor can we turn around the other way and say, "Hey, there are some people who are just not worth the effort." Because people do take more effort than others. And then look at it and say, "Hey, you know, it's not worth it. We don't need that person. We can do better without them." That neither one of those are true. I've been struggling with ideas for quite a while. I've been seeing a trend. One of the things that attracted me when I first moved here, it's been 15 years. It's been over 15 and a half years now. I've never lived in one spot so long, literally. I think the longest I ever lived was 13 and a half years. But I've never lived in one spot so long because there was something that attracted me here. One of the things that appealed to me was when I first looked at La Vista, I looked at its numbers. I had never ran across a congregation so devoted where Sunday morning and Wednesday night attendance is oftentimes beat Sunday morning. Usually it was about the same. And it's not the numbers. The numbers reflect an attitude of the people. Everybody was on fire for God. It was not looked at as a chore to come to church. And last, if you look at last Sunday night, I noticed as soon as I mentioned it, everybody looks at that Sunday night's numbers all of a sudden. There's been a trend, and it's bothering me to no great end. Because I looked at Sunday night and said, okay, all the people that were missing, who would normally be here on Sunday night? That were ill or out of town or whatever. And I came up with two more that I probably could count on that would probably have showed up. Now I want you to think about it. We've been talking about going out and evangelizing. And it's absolutely critical for the survival of a congregation. Because none of us are permanent. Not a single one of us. But you have to understand, and I understand, that when we get somebody in and they start becoming a part of the group, they're going to probably be one of the weaker members. It's going to take a while for them to build up and get stronger and start being a part of the group. The ones that you probably see in the numbers that, you know, Sunday nights, those are probably those are the stronger members that come no matter what. But look at the future of this congregation. You know, Dave and Paulette are talking about retiring. Not to pick on anybody, but they're talking about retiring. Okay? They're not planning to be here much longer. Irene's job put her in Lincoln. She's in the process of moving. She's not going to be here much longer. Marshall and PJ are going to be graduating here shortly. They're going to be off to college. I won't give you very high odds of them coming back. I don't know. But I won't give you very high odds. I've been teasing my own boys. There hasn't been any girls around here. Most likely they're going to find somebody elsewhere. They may not be back. Kirk and Rachel are only here for a little while longer. I would add them to the number if they happen to be out of town that week. Start thinking about what's going to happen to this congregation. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll go ahead and start with verse 11. Ephesians 4, start with verse 11. And he, that's Christ, gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That last verse, pull it apart and notice what it says. How does a body grow? How does a church grow? Every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. It doesn't happen because the preacher does it all. It doesn't happen because somebody else takes care of all the slack. Churches grow because each individual part works. Some work harder than others, that's to be given. But every part works and causes the growth. Every joint supplies towards that growth. And if we don't, it dies. It's just a matter of fact and a matter of time. In Colossians chapter 2, same point is being made in verse 19. Colossians 2 and in verse 19. It says, "And not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Every part pulled together as a unit grows." And that growth comes from God. And the reason for that is, as Christ points out in John chapter 15 and verse 15, John 15, verse 5. "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." All this doesn't matter if we don't hold on to Christ. The focus and the core of this has to be Jesus Christ. And without Christ, we can do nothing. But from Christ, then each of us needs to do something. I readily admit, I tend to do quite a bit. That's probably, don't spread it out as much. I keep getting told that a lot. I got teased not too long ago because, as you most of you know, in the fall I used to go off to a camp to help out with that, and I was laughing so hard because I told them this year, no, I can't make it. I just got too many things, just can't make it. And so they started finding, oh, well, somebody's got to take Jeff's place. It took them 5 people to figure out who's going to take my place. And that's what led to my thoughts of saying, I'm wondering if this is what's happening here. Is it gotten so easy that you can just show up on Sunday morning, sit in the pew for a while, leave, and not have to think about anything else that goes on because somebody else is taking up the slack? Does it take a stirring of the pot? I've talked to people, I've mentioned that I've started looking at other places. Not because I want to move, but because I love this group too much. And I'm wondering what it's going to take to stir it up. It gets people to say, hey, there's work that needs to be done, and there's nobody else to count on anymore, so I guess I'm going to have to do it. It's one of the thoughts of what's going through my head. Maybe that's what it's going to take. Several of you have talked to me since then, and I think I've about been convinced that, no, that's not going to be what's going to take. But we got to understand, a congregation is not one member or a handful of members. Every one of you is a congregation. In Colossians 2 and verse 2 of that same chapter, Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, that we read earlier, says that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knitted together in love, attaining to the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. All of us are knitted together, and what holds us together is the love for each other. And yet, I've seen families where you basically say, well, obviously somebody doesn't love their family because they let everybody else do all the work. They don't care. In order for this congregation to grow, it's going to take every single one of us caring about one another. Think about one of the things also. I'll pull some up. Some of you haven't been here 15 years now. Pulling out some of the other memories that I have. I can't remember when's the last time we had a get-together, other than the formal, semi-formal potlucks we have once a month. Well, there was one just last month. But every once in a while, think about it. How we used to have get-togethers where we would get together and play cards, do things together. It's been ages since I've heard of some. Because a lot of the people that used to pull them together, they end up moving. But now we've picked up the slack. But part of that is also the knitting together of us in love. Where we like to be with one another. And always what ends up happening is, well, somebody else takes care of that. But what happens when that somebody else moves off? And now it's just a memory of what we used to do instead of what we used to always do. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We ought always to be giving thanks to God for you, brethren, for it is only fitting, because of your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each other toward one another grows even greater. Isn't that a wonderful statement about what a congregation is like? I'm so thankful that you exist, because your faith is growing, your love is growing, people see that. That's what we ought to be wanting to be known for. Just like the Thessalonians. In 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and abiding word of God. Because we all have Christ as our common roots. Because we have come to know salvation through Christ. We ought to be seeing each other as those who we love. Instead, sometimes I hear bickering and I hear nitpicking. Yeah, that happens in families once in a while. But what should tie us together is the love for one another. The concern for one another. The desire to be with one another. You know, again, going back to what we said in 1 Corinthians 12, there is no one who's not necessary in a congregation. We can always use, in fact, most congregations, we can always use more people. One of the things that struck my mind as I was jotting down notes, you know, a long time ago, when evolution was being really, really pushed in the schools, they talked about vestigial organs. Now, these are the organs that they decided that we don't need them anymore because obviously the body has developed beyond them and we don't need them. You know, appendix was one of them and the tonsils was another one. And as the years went by, the list got shorter and shorter and shorter about these vestal organs that we don't need. The list has gotten down to zero. Because they found out, oops, all those organs that we thought we didn't need, they really did have a function. They were just kind of subtle. Some were important in certain aspects of a person's life. But every one was necessary. Now they're going off to vestal DNA. They lost out on the organs. So now they're trying to find genes that we don't need. It'll probably be the same thing. They'll keep cutting down the list one by one, and they find out that every one was necessary. Now, the church is a body. And there isn't a piece of us that's not necessary. Now, some of them may not look so important right now, because the part where they can really play a role hasn't come up at the moment. But every one of us is important. We ought to see it that way. But what really bothers me is I wonder what the future of the congregation is. That's really what I'm bothering me, is the trend. Yeah, there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be times of growth and times of not so strong. But where are we going? I'm really hoping that, you know, when we get out and start doing the evangelism, being out on the street, that's going to help get some new people in there. But we got to remember, those people are going to be weak. They're going to need teaching. We don't want to drive Kyle nutty, as it is already, trying to find teachers. Because nobody's been stepping up. And it's getting fewer and fewer. We got to think about where we're going. And like I said, just trying to give an introduction to the thoughts. And I don't know what the total solution is. Because I can't make anybody do what's right. I can just point the way. But I just want to see how you changed over the years. And it hasn't been a better change. It's been sliding. We've gotten too comfortable. We've gotten too complacent. And we can't count on the fact that everybody's always going to be here. So I hope you think about those things today. I'd like to offer an opportunity to those today that if there's anyone who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. We need everyone serving Christ to the best of our ability. Is anyone here is a child of God, like the prayers of the brethren on the behalf? Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song selection?